Jeremiah chapter 2 this morning. Jeremiah chapter number 2. We'll read two verses here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2. We'll begin reading here in verse number 12. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 12. God, through his prophet, is speaking to his people here in Jeremiah chapter 2. As time and time again, the nation of Israel strays from God. And here we find in Jeremiah chapter 2, just again, the people in tremendous sin. I mean, idolatry, and when you're talking idolatry, literally, folks, you're talking about the occult and sacrifices and horrible things that are done in the name of different gods. And here it is, God is pleading with his people. You know, he didn't just throw them out. He didn't just say, hey, you know, I'm done with you, and just crinkle them up and throw them in the trash in some trash can somewhere. No, he didn't. He's pleading with them. And that's what he's doing here in Jeremiah chapter 2. And I want us to see here this morning, we're going to see two evils that the children of Israel committed here. And really, as we come to this morning, before we read the verses, we need to understand that for the most part, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 is sort of the key verse from the entire book of Jeremiah. And so, again, God's heart will be revealed as we look into the scripture here this morning about this matter, really when it comes down to our hearts, even today. And so, Jeremiah chapter number 2, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for your grace this morning, and thank you how you desire that intimacy with us in our lives, and that personal relationship, and that personal fellowship. And so, Lord, would you work in each one of our minds and our hearts this morning? And I pray that you would meet needs this morning. We're needy people. We need you desperately. Even sometimes we think we don't. And so, Lord, would you cut to our hearts, I pray now, as the scripture is preached and read. In Christ's name, amen. Again, Israel had strayed from the Lord, God desires a life of submission and sweet communion with him. And we can say a life of submission like he's some awful master. No, he's a gracious master. He's a kind God. Listen, he's a heavenly father to those of us that are saved this morning. It's as a father to a son, all right? A good father to his son, all right? And as Israel here, the Old Testament, would often forsake the Lord. Folks, we do too sometimes. You know, we as believers many times will forsake the Lord's direction. We'll forsake his comfort, his communion. Why? Because many times we're too busy, too distracted. Oftentimes we're so distracted by things that are going what we perceive as wrong or bad or offenses or whatever it may be. We perceive those things, and really, the Lord's saying, just come. Just come to me, you know. And by the affairs of everyday life. I mean, I know you've heard, there's always something. Yeah, there is. It's always something. Yeah, listen, that's why we need him. Because there is always something. Listen, this book, folks, this book's to be lived. This book's alive. This book tells us how to live. It tells us how to walk. It tells us what not to do, but when we do go the wrong way, it tells us how to make it right again. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect simply means complete. Not perfect, like, oh, he's just perfect or something. The only one was perfect, and that's Christ. You know. But it tells us this is what we need. Wished I'd have known it as a teenager. Yeah, I do. I can see big smiles back there, guys. Yeah. We're all sitting here, a lot of us sitting here going, yeah, I wished I did. Wished I had that. You know. But the first thing I want us to see this morning, here in verse number 12, is that many times we fail to see the heart of God through a circumstance, through a situation, through life. We fail to see his heart. And if you look here in verse 12, it says, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, saith the Lord." Here's God appealing to the very heavens, moon, stars, the atmosphere, appealing to his very creation. You know, Matthew 8 and verse 27 says, "Even the winds and sea obey him." Remember that there in Matthew chapter 8? Those disciples were in that boat. Jesus says, "Peace be still." Boy, he can do that in your life this morning. You know that? And boy, we can get in on some rough seas, can't we? We sure can. Isaiah 40 and verses 25 and 26, it says, "To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes." Listen to what God says. Lift up your eyes. Imagine being out at night. Stars are shining. It's beautiful. "Lift up your eyes and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth." Why don't those stars fail? Why does he know them by name? He created them. In some form or fashion, he has a relationship with them. He's in charge of them. You see, it's interesting. He's in charge of all that, and they do exactly what he wants them to do. But yet he gives man a choice, doesn't he? Interesting, isn't it? He gives man a choice. Why is all the sorrow and sadness and sickness in the world today? Because men have choices. That's why. They can choose Jesus Christ and his ways or reject him. So somebody says, "Oh, well, why is all this sadness in the world? If God's in control of this and in control..." Let me tell you something. God has control of whatever, but you know what? He gives mankind a choice, and that's why there is the problems that we have in the world. Man has a choice. It's as simple as that. And dear friend, may I say, you and I have choices today. The heart of God. Isaiah 48 and verse 13, it talks about when he calls unto the heavens. The Bible says that when God calls unto the heavens, they stand up together. Think of it. The relationship that he has. And yet the crowning act of the entire creation was on day six when God created man in his own image. Something. God's heart is revealed here in these verses in Jeremiah chapter 2. He yearns, he desires a relationship with this nation of Israel here in Jeremiah chapter 2. And I dare say that the seed of Jesus Christ came through that nation, through the law, all right, down to where a baby in a manger, a Savior, was born, right? Seed of God. And he desires not that baby, but that Savior that died on the cross, that rose from the dead on the third day, desires a relationship. Yes, with his creation, oh, he definitely has that, but he desires man, you, sir, you, ma'am, to choose him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. He desires that closeness. That's what communion is. The root word of the word communion is the word common. What do you have in common with him? You see, there's a godlike vacuum in every one of us. There's a place in the human heart. God has created man, and that man is not complete until he's in fellowship with the Lord. And oftentimes, he's forsaken. We don't choose him. So number one, we fail to see the heart of God. But number two this morning, we often forsake him. We often forsake him. You see, whatever stage of life you're in and whatever circumstance, he's wanting to draw you near to him. I know of a young boy. His name was Ronnie. Ronnie had a brother, and they grew up in Elmira, New York. And I believe this was back in, man's almost 80 today. You do the math. Whatever it was. I'm not sure what it was. Can't think of it right now. Maybe the 20s. Nah, 20s, 30s. Whatever it was 80 years ago, all right? And they were in Elmira, New York. The dad and the mom couldn't hold down a job, all right? They were drunk all the time. They were always partying, okay? They'd sleep all day long, all right? Then they'd get up at night. And when they were awake, they'd fight, all right? It was a terrible life for the kids, all right? And when they weren't drunk, they were a mess. They lived a wicked, immoral life, and they cheated on each other and ended up in divorce, and the boys were put in foster homes because neither dad nor mom could take them. And so they were in and out of these foster homes and in and out of bad situations until one night, until they got in this one foster home. And as Ron gives his testimony, he says that home was different. He said the lady of the house was different. He said she talked about the Lord. She talked about prayer. She took him to church. She gave him the gospel. And they were there for quite a while at this house. And he remembers as a young boy, one night hearing her praying in her bedroom. And he looked in, and I don't know whether he's supposed to be there or not, but he looked in, and there was the missus of the house praying with tears for Ronnie and his brother. And you know, it so touched the young boy's heart. It wasn't too long. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And listen, it changed his life. Now listen, that man's an evangelist today. He's preaching the word of God. Yes, listen to me. He came out of a home like that. Do you understand what God does? He comes out of a situation like that of heartache, of pain, felt like his parents didn't want him. And yet God reaches down in a life and says, no, my son. I'm going to take care of you. And the man's still preaching today. And I dare say thousands have probably come to Christ because of him. And because why? Because Jesus Christ has come, watch it now. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he's done. And God is pleading here in Jeremiah chapter 2. He's pleading with his people. Look at verse 9. It says here in verse 9, wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord. With your children's children will I plead. Could he be pleading with you today? Do you know Jesus Christ personally this morning? Do you have a relationship with him? What does that mean? Hey, listen, I was 22 years old till I figured out what in the world that meant, okay? I've had people come up to me and say, hey, Ben, Mrs. Dunkel over here. It blows my mind. I lifted weights with Sean Dunkel. Mrs. Dunkel would always tell me, went down here to Faith Alive. She'd always say, Ben, and she's going through cancer at the time. She goes, Ben, do you know the Lord? I'd say, oh yeah, Mrs. Dunkel, I'm a Lutheran. I went home. I said, Mom, aren't we Lutheran? She said, oh yeah, Ben, we're Lutheran. I said, okay, I thought so. I said, Mom, we're Christians, right? She goes, yeah, we're Christians. I said, and I told Mrs. Dunkel that. She goes, yeah, Ben, but she says, I want to know, do you know the Lord personally? I couldn't figure out what in the world that woman's talking about, but it went until I was 22 years old and I heard the gospel preached from a pulpit and realized that he explained salvation so well that morning about Jesus being in a boat with those disciples and how that big storm came up over Galilee and how those disciples were scared to death. And that preacher said, see, that's just like your life. You're out on this sea and you don't have any control over anything. And then they were scared to death and they woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, we're gonna die. And Jesus Christ got up out of that boat and he says, peace be still. And that preacher said that morning that lake was crystal clear, that Sea of Galilee was crystal clear across there. And he said, I'm speaking to somebody today that you're out on life's sea and you're not even in the boat. I knew that was me. I knew it. And I thought to myself, now there's 170 people in this church in here in the morning. I'm sitting in the back pew, and I've got my hands just on that pew. I just can't believe that preacher knew it. I was sitting there. How's he talking to me through all this? You see, it wasn't that preacher. It was the Holy Spirit of God saying, listen, Ben, I want you to come to me now. My life is a mess. And I needed something. I needed my God. I needed Jesus Christ. If you're sitting here this morning, you need him. You've got that funny feeling in your heart and say, boy, I just feel a little bit moved. That's the Spirit of God working in your conscience and your life, friend. Don't you deny him. He's knocking on your heart's door. You let him in. Because it's all that matters in life. That's it. It's all that matters. I don't care what position you hold anywhere, what you've done in your life, where you're from. Only thing that matters on that day, that fateful day, when we stand before God, is whether or not you trusted his son. That's it. Where will you be 10,000 years from this morning? Because you'll be somewhere. Either heaven or hell. And you see, Jesus Christ paid the price on that cross that day. All the wrath and anger and fury against sin. You see, it only takes one sin to offend a holy God. If you've ever said, oh my, and you put his high and holy name in that statement, dear friend, you're a sinner. You've sinned. And that's enough sin to send you to the devil's hell forever and ever and ever. You understand that? Fire, smoke, brimstone. I'm just telling you what's in the old book. It's God's word. And all the wrath and anger and fury of God was poured on Jesus Christ that day. He was taken down off that cross after he gave his life. Don't you miss it. He gave his life. Nobody could take the Son of God's life. He gave it. He laid it down. And when he was taken down off that cross and put in the tomb, he's buried in that tomb. Dear friend, your sin was buried right there with him. He was in the tomb for 3 days and he rose from the dead. He came up victorious. And you see, the choice is yours. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, that's Jesus, that received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Choice is yours. I was taught all my life, well, Jesus died for the sinner, and we're Christians, and I know we're all going to heaven because Jesus died for everybody. Wrong. It's a choice. It is a choice. You can either receive Jesus Christ as your payment for sin and go and be with him for eternity, forever, or reject him and pay for your own sin. The problem is your own sin if you pay for your own sin, you'll never get it paid for because you go to hell for all eternity. That's the only way to pay for your sin. He can pay for it or you can. Guys, the gospel is like, it's legal talk. Do you know what I'm saying? He legally justified you. It's what he has done. Receive him or reject him. Little Ronnie, he received Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Hey, the heart of God is for you to come to him. Number one, we fail to see the heart of God. Number two, we forsake him. Now, it says this right here. It says, look at verse 13. It says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Psalm 145 and verse 16 says, thou openest thine hand, watch it now, and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's what God does. Hey, did you have enough to eat this week? Why? Because God opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. How about the wicked boy down the street that we're not even sure what he does in his life? Did God provide food for him this week? Yep, even provide it for him. Because he opens his hand. All right, Matthew 6 and verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink? The Lord takes care, folks, God takes care of his own, takes care of his people. He takes care of others even, too, that aren't his own, but he wants them to come to him. And yet many times we forsake him. What? He's the fountain of living waters. Let's think about water this morning. oftentimes one of the kids will say, hey, Dad, I got a headache. First thing I think of is, did you drink enough of water? I don't know if that's what you think, but dehydration, what, it'll give you all kinds of problems, right? You know, did you drink enough water? Here I got a list here. What, headaches, cramps, heat strokes, kidney problems, dizziness, fatigue. You know, our bodies need water to function. And imagine if you said, you know, I'm through. I'm done with this water thing, and I'm not drinking it anymore. What science tells us, what, you got about 3 days, right? Got about 3 days. I was talking to a contractor this winter. Man, going through a rough time. Okay, couldn't get out to do his work, and concerned about his finances. His wife's real sick, and she's having trouble, and of course it makes her a little just dissatisfied with things and grumpy, and the man is going through it. Okay, it's about the end of his rope. And he says to me, he says, Ben, he said, sometimes I don't even feel like getting up in the morning. I feel like I'm behind on my bills. I'm behind on this. I feel like a biggest failure in my entire life. Do you ever feel like failure? Do you ever feel depressed? Do you ever feel like, well, how in the world am I ever going to get out of this pit? You know. It's like you get in a fog. You feel numb to everything. And yet, numb to everything, and yet so fearful. There's a fear sometimes, isn't there? A fear that still abounds in your heart, and you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You see, here's the point I'm making this morning. We are human beings made in God's image. Our spiritual, our physical, our emotional, emotional makeups, they're fragile, folks. You haven't known that, you need to know it. Guys can act tough and all this. There ain't none of us tough. Sorry. Just how it is. You see, our psyche, if you will, is very complex. All right? And just as our bodies need literal water, our souls, our minds, our spirits need Jesus Christ daily. And it's not just a one-time thing. Oh, yep, I trusted the Lord, and that's it. Well, you trust the Lord, and that's it. Let me say this. You'll be with Him for eternity, all right? But folks, it doesn't stop there. Growth needs to happen. You need to live in such a manner that pleases Him. But the only way you'll do it is through Him. You won't do it like going out and just, I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to live the Christian life. That's flesh. Forget it. You're not going to roll up your sleeves and do anything. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. No, it's His word. Watch it now. It's His word. It's this book in your heart and in your life through prayer and meditation of this book. And then the fruit of that comes out in your life. It'll change your life. I'm telling you, when I got saved, my mother said, what happened to you? My dad said, what happened to you? Ben's different. He's not going out with all his friends and stuff anymore. He's not going to the bars. He's not drinking. What in the world happened to that guy? My mother worried about me. Ben got himself into a cult. Listen, why? Because this was starting to take effect, and you must understand, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, there's something going to happen. That's just how it is. And I want to tell you, that change, that trust, that simply trusting in Jesus Christ every hour, every second, every minute of every day is only going to come when you, sir, ma'am, are meditating and you're relying on this book, the very words of it. Not the ideas, the words. It's the Word of God. That's what matters. And that's what we need. Why? Because that's the water. That's the water. John 7 and verse 37, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what happened when we drank from that word of God. Out of our lives comes some. Do you need that this morning? Let me ask you, sir, do you need that in your house? In your children? Do you need it in your attitude? Toward your job? toward your spouse, toward your family, toward others? What is it? You know. Psalm 1, verse 3. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law," watch it, please understand it, "and in his law doth he meditate." That's just thinking about. That's a fancy word for thinking about something. Okay? "In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree," watch it now, "planted by the rivers of water." The biggest trees I cut down, folks, are by the river. Those sycamores, and I'll tell you what else grow big there, is the big old tulip poplars. They're huge. Why? Because the roots are in the stream. "He shall be like a tree planted beside rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." Watch it. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Prosper. Are you sinking your roots? Is your life in the Word of God? Are you in the Word of God? "Whatsoever you do shall prosper." Do you notice the fruit comes in his season? Oh, you think, whoop, it's going to happen right away. No, it isn't. It takes the season. It takes a little while. It's here, it's there, you know. But it'll come. Why? God promised it. "And whatsoever you do shall prosper." Isn't that interesting? Success is in relation to the meditation of those very words. What's it say? "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction." What's correction? Tells us what we're doing wrong. "Instruction in righteousness" tells us how to get it right. Right? Need it. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit out upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows," there's that tree again, "as willows by the watercourses," that's rivers, "as willows by the watercourses." That's a promise to the nation of Israel that God says, listen, if you'll be thirsty, he's talking to the parents. He's saying, if you'll be thirsty, if you'll desire me, boy, what I'm going to do with your kids. That's what he's saying. I want to tell you, we have a God with a heart that bleeds for you. Do you understand that this morning? Do you know how much he cares? Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. "When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know." Isn't that glorious? "I know my Savior cares." Yes, he does. And I'll tell you, he's reaching out to you this morning. He's saying, "You come because I love you. You come, you throw everything down on you throw everything right down on this altar, and you put everything in your life right there and just come to me and let it there. And I'll give you back what I want you to have back." What's God speaking to you about? What is it? What do you have in your life? Maybe someone here is dealing with pornography. Maybe somebody's here is dealing with an offense. Just holding them down. Holding on to that for years. Maybe somebody here is dealing with an addiction of some sort. I don't know. Hey, I don't care what it is. Traps, snares of the evil one. It all requires that water from the precious Word of God. He's saying, come. What is it? What is this water? Do you know what the water of the Word of God is? It's perspective on life. Where do you get it? Prayer and meditation. It's wisdom. It's direction, it's comfort, it's communication with deity, with Christ. It is the person of Christ. And our text here says, you've forsaken me. They've forsaken me. No wonder our souls get cast down. Did David get cast down? He was a man after God's own heart. Did he get depressed? Yep. Why do we think we're any better, guys? We're not. We need him so bad. Now, David knew where to go. Well, I'll tell you, though. David got himself into some bad situations, didn't he? Some of the worst. Even murder, guy, wasn't it? Adultery? God pulled him out of that mess. He repented of that. He put that thing behind him. He laid that thing down on the altar. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning that's huge in your life. You need to put down the altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to let it there and let you deal with it. And I'm going to come to you and let you undertake for me because I can't handle it. Who here would say, boy, I can't handle it. I'm too weak. My frame is just going to break under this thing. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's what he said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart. What a joy to fellowship with Jesus Christ. What a joy to fellowship with him. It is. Our souls get depressed, stressed out, because we're not taking in what we so desperately need. We need Christ. We need his word. That's what I'm talking about. When I say we need Christ, we need this, meditate on this book. That's what I'm talking about. You know. Number one, we fail to see his heart. Number two, we forsake him. We forsake the meeting time with him. But number three, and finally this morning, we search for fulfillment. Watch it now. This is good. We all do this. Okay. Nobody in the room is exempt from this. We search for fulfillment in wrong places in our lives sometimes. Look at verse 13. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. In Bible times, it took much work and effort to dig a cistern. All right? Oftentimes, they would lay block and stone. They dig a huge pit. Remember old Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah? He's in this pit. He can't even get out of it. You can't crawl up out of this thing. It must be huge. Okay? His feet are sinking in the mud. He's up to his knees in this quicksand or whatever's in there. Okay? They would lay block and things and do masonry around these things. Okay? But imagine, thing gets a hole in it. All right? It's the end of the rainy season. You're coming into the drought. The cows need water. You need water. And they open up this cistern, and boom, nothing in it. Mud. That's what God says we do sometimes in our lives. We're looking. Here's the fountain of living waters, and we're looking down here in the mud. I know of a married couple. One time lived up in northern part of the United States, and they didn't like the long winters and didn't like what was happening here with friends and relatives, their church and everything, and they just got so discontented about it, you know, and just got irritated and frustrated with it, so they moved to the South. Well, they weren't in the South very long, and things weren't so sure about what was going on there. You know, well, the summers is just so hot, you know, and just so discontented with this and that church and what's going on there and, you know, and everything. Before you know, they're talking and moving again. Hey, what am I saying? I'm saying oftentimes we got the idea that the grass is greener someplace else, don't we? We do. It's not. You see, God has a purpose right where you're at today. And for some of you, it might be just to keep on keeping on. For some of you, it might be, boy, I got to kind of discard this hair thing. This is dragging me down, and I've got to break free of this. I need the Lord for this or for that. It might be, you might be here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. You don't know where your eternal destiny is, heaven or hell. Imagine getting on a plane. They say, sir, where's your final destination today? Oh, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter where I'm going. What? Nobody does that. All right, listen, it's foolishness. You need to know where you're going. You need to know. Do you know this morning? Jesus is calling. Calling all sinners. We're all sinners, folks. He's calling sinners. Come home. Come to me. Yep. Do you ever have it? And again, we believers, sometimes we think this too. We think, well, you know, if this just one thing in my life here was changed, everything else would work out. Do you ever feel like that? If this circumstance, or if I didn't have to deal with this circumstance, or this situation, or this person, or this, what's going on here at my workplace, or whatever it is, you think, oh, it'll all work out. No, no, listen. Whatever it is, or you know what it is? If I just had this, if I just had this bass boat, right? If I just had this big bucket truck, need about another 20 feet, right? Whatever it is, if I just had this, okay? No, do you know what we really need? The fountain of living waters. Guys, we all need that. This preacher needs that. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain in life and God. Do you notice that? His divine power hath given us all things, and it's from the book, that pertain unto life and godliness. That's what we need. Listen, that's what we need for emotions. Do you ever feel like this? You say, you know, I don't know, things aren't going so bad, but I feel this way. I feel this. I feel that. Well, I mean, we really need to go on what the basis of what the facts are. Amen? Amen. We're saved on our way to heaven. That's where we're at, right? We've got a Lord that cares about us. We know that he'll take care of us. We know that we can go to him in prayer and he's going to take care of things. Even little things, right, Chad? Yeah. It's amazing what he just takes care of when you just ask him. We have that, and yet we're downcast. Now, you say, but I can't get rid of these feelings. What do I do? Let me say something. You can trust Jesus Christ, your feelings. You know what you do? You say, Lord, now I'm feeling down and depressed, and I know that it's sin. Now you better say what it is, because it is. All right? Now I know it's sin, and I know and it's wrong. And if you don't feel it is, then you tell him what you feel it is, and then you let him have his way. Amen? You say, Lord, I can trust you with my feelings. I'm feeling down, but Lord, I'm going to make you. Oh, we got this nice camera here. Forget about that. You know, I think it's Psalm 43. And it goes on to say in Psalm 43, the psalmist says, God, send out thy light and thy truth. And it goes on to say, and then will I come. And then will I come to you, to your altar. For you are my exceeding joy. If Jesus Christ is your exceeding joy, what you upset about? We need to make him our all. Do you remember there in the Gospels where Jesus was there and all the Jews were there and Mary came in and she washed his feet with her hair? That's adoration. That's worship. That's saying, Lord, nothing else matters but you. We've got to come to him and say, Lord, nothing else matters but you. Block everything else out. Lord, nothing else matters but you. You're my exceeding joy. I can trust you with my feelings. I can trust you with my depression. I can trust you with my my problem that I have. Whatever it is. And you'll see he will work it out. When there's not a way, Jesus Christ makes a way. That's what he does. Yes, sir. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Wait a minute. Where's the joy? In his presence. Well, if you're breathing today, he's present. You're in his presence. You understand? Where's the joy? It's in his presence. When there's fullness of joy, that's the end of worry, isn't it? It's the end of discontentment. It's the end of guilt. Do you ever feel guilt? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever say, boy, there's some things I wished I'd done different? Yeah, me too. Do you understand this morning it's under the blood? You understand that? We've all got regrets. We've all got things we've dealt with. But do you understand this morning that Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the guilt goes. With Calvary. Goes. Presence. In his presence. It's the end of depression. I don't know about you, but things get to bother me bad sometimes. It gets heavy on my mind. And Even things that I don't have control over, some things that I do. I've got a workshop outside my house there. Where we do some maintenance on equipment and stuff, you know, and I've got a wood stove in there. And one of those big cast iron ones. Yeah, kind of like a Fisher, and got those big double doors on it, you know. And this winter, I'd go down there and I'd build a fire in that thing. Thing's insulated, so it'd heat up nice, you know. And I'd build a fire in that guy, and I'd have a folding chair back of the where the welder is there and stuff. And I'd grab that folding chair and set it out in front of that stove. I'd go down there in the pitch dark. Yep, I'd take my phone too, you know, because I had my Bible with me, and I'd take that Bible along, and I'd set that chair in front of that stove, and I'd sit there with that Bible and a cup of coffee. Amen. I'd go down there, and is your Bible, let me ask you a question. Is your Bible important to you? Oh, you think on it. If you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, we have a problem, right? Why? Because your Bible is your lifeline. Your Bible is what reveals Christ to you. Without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's where the water is, you see. And I'd get down there and I'd take that cup of coffee. I'd sit there with that Bible. I'd say, Lord, and I'd just spill my heart out to God what he wanted. And I'd say, Lord, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with this, and I got this, and I got this. Yeah, listen, when I go, I got a bucket list of problems and whatever. But I'll tell you what, I got a bucket list of joys, too, to take to the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for my home. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my job. I want to thank you for this. Thank. But then I got to think, Lord, but this here's bothering me. And you know what I do? I tell my feelings, my thoughts, exactly. I mean, right? I mean, so honest. Even if I know they're wrong, because I know he's my daddy. And I know he cares what I think. And he wants to know what I think. And I go right to him and tell him what I think. And I saw this winter, as I take those opportunities, and I saw God answer specific prayer, give me specific direction, deal with specific things that I was worried about and how they were going to turn out, and he took care of those things. Why? I'm here to tell you, because it's the water that we need in our lives. That's what it is. It's a personal relationship with the Son of God. Exodus 33 and verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend. Did you hear that? It's the kind of God we serve. Oh, I'm not saying we shouldn't fear him. Oh, he's to be feared. But dear friend, he's to be adored. He's to be loved. He's a person. Isaiah 48 and verse 8 calls Abraham. God calls Abraham his friend. I got comfort, direction, perspective. Perspective's important, folks, in your life. I saw God answer specific prayer requests that I gave. And I didn't just sit there with the list, so I'll give him prayer requests. No, I just poured my heart out. Direction for my life, my family, business, ministry, you know, staying sane, remaining emotionally and spiritually stable is not rocket science. It's not. Listen, it is a relationship. It's a fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. All the heartaches, all the pains, all the horrible things we can go through this life, I want to tell you what, Jesus Christ walks with you, child of God. He cares. Don't need to be a PhD. I'll tell you that. We've got enough of that in this world sometimes, don't we? You need to be some physicist or some chemist and have some terrible big IQ. No, it's simple. Don't forsake the Lord in your daily life. And don't look for contentment and fulfillment in these old broken down cisterns in the mud. He's the fountain of living waters. We need to make time to meet with him as friend to friend. Let's go ahead and stand for prayer. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. We're going to go to hymn number 470 right after I pray here. Lord, thank you so much for the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, that it is most certainly liberating. I pray, Lord, this morning, for those here this morning that don't know you as Savior, oh God, may they come to you. I pray for those that you've spoke to them about something specific in their lives, this matter of meeting with you and this matter of taking you by faith and being able to cope and to really lay on you those hardships and heartaches. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Go to hymn number 470.